You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, what's up, Square Pimp Brigade? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. This is a special show, y'all. This is a special
show. Finally, we have a special one.
Now, I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. So, Harry, what's going on? You ready to rock and roll?
Absolutely. I'm always ready to rock and roll. I'm wearing sunglasses. Doesn't that mean I'm ready to rock and roll?
That's usually what it means. That's usually what it means. Dre, you ready to rock?
Yes, sir. What's good, man?
Right, I want to introduce some.
I don't know what that meant.
What did he say?
I don't even know. You just glossed over some jibba jabba.
My guest today is a philosopher, Renaissance man, relationship author, artist, musical artist, all kinds of shit. Yo, put it up for West Coast Cam, y'all. Give it up for West Coast Cam. Clap it up, yo.
What up, family?
Thank you for doing this, bro. I reached out. I saw some stuff that you was doing online, and I really dig the righteous talk. One of the three principles that we talk about on this show is an acronym called ACE. ACE is authenticity, credibility, and empathy. Oh. Authenticity in terms of truth.
Yeah.
Credibility, you say what you mean what you say, and empathy in the context of knowing whatever the social engagement is,
right,
what the other person is going through. And I kind of feel like that covers everything, you know, simplifies and it covers everything.
Yeah, that's dope. That's heat.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. I'm just happy to go. I didn't even know you had a relationship book. You want to plug that real quick?
Yeah. My first book, it's not about rap or hip-hop or gangbanging or street nothing or religion. It's about relationship. It's called War in Your Heaven.
Okay. Talk about that a little bit, please.
Yes. It's the subtitle was The Black Man's Relationship Problems with His Black Woman Today of America and the Feared Solutions.
Okay.
You know, now, unfortunately, you know, we kind of become enemies to each other, you know, in particular black man and woman of America, because of the trauma that we've been through for 400 years or whatnot.
Right.
And, you know, we real dysfunctional. We've been made irresponsible through what we've been through, you know, in this country and pitted against each other for various reasons. So I highlight that and kind of deal with putting the responsibility and the accountability where it belongs, which is on us first as men, and then the women got to take 100% of their responsibility also.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. One of the things that I always say is, you know, it's just listening to you, I knew we were kind of like-minded by what you were saying, and it wasn't even on relationship, but I mean, those, you know, a lot of those principles, they permeate everything that you do. And so one of the things that I say all the time is that, you know, the your credibility as a man and say what you mean what you say and have the truthfulness of that. The thing about that is you never hear anybody say she's a woman of her word.
Man.
So you never hear that. And it's because it's almost like we give them that level of emotionality so that they they can flip-flop and be fickle. Right. And so a lot of times if you're dealing with the emotionality of women, what happens is we get frustrated, which is weird because it's almost like being mad at fish for swimming. You know what I mean?
but that's an excuse, that's a cop-out if they claim that they're supposed to be equally intelligent with us.
Absolutely.
You know, if they fighting for equality and, you know, this and that, then you got to take this equal responsibility and this equal blame if your brains is equal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, what's funny? I think about that when I get in trouble a lot of times because I speak my mind. I mean, I know you get that.
I'll stay in trouble.
But you can't, you know, equal also means the same. And I think the energy, the masculine energy and the feminine energy is not the same. So right. It can't be equal. Like I'm not going to my chick for what I got. I'm going for something else. And she's coming to me for something else. So it's really not equal. I mean, it may be equal in terms of the exchange that we get what we want, but it's never equal in the true sense of equal. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's equal value, but it's not equal roles.
Good point. And you know, there's a lot of times you hear this there's all this talk about this fluidity, this gender fluidity and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things is like, I'm 54 years old. I had my first son. Thank you, brother. I made it.
Yeah, you made it. Man.
But I had my first son this year. I've just turned 1 year old, right?
Oh, man,
first child ever, first son. Yeah. And it's like my wife is 32 because I get it like that. And and what I notice is like when he wakes up in the morning, he don't want no part of me. He doesn't. It's an interesting thing as much as it's because one of the things that I'm hitting you with a lot of stuff because
let's go.
One of the things that I attest to myself is on my own personal homophobia. And let me explain. Yeah. I grew up on hip hop, on 80s and 90s hip hop.
Right.
It's almost like you cannot be not homophobic if you grew up because the indoctrination is homophobic. I mean, it just wasn't okay with Lil Nas X and all of this stuff. So although, you know, I understand the emasculation of men, but I also understand that that some people are that way. There's a fluidity, but when you try to tell me that there is no gender, and my son, who's 1 year old, he knows the difference between her maternal energy, and he knows once he's awake and he wants to wrestle and he wants me to throw him around, it's a different energy. You feel me? And so he hasn't been indoctrinated. He hasn't watched the movies. He is as honest at 1 year old.
It's as
honest
pure as you could be.
Exactly.
Unsullied as you can be is right out of the womb. And he has his instincts and they're there for a reason.
He doesn't have a Twitter yet, so you just wait.
That's true.
You don't really know this kid. You got to wait till he gets his Twitter.
There's definitely a different energy. You know what I mean? There's definitely a different energy that we give, and I think that energy is what makes him whole in the context of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, everybody starts out. You know, we both male and female gender come out of the woman.
Sure.
Right? So even when you're talking about, you know, homophobia, the word phobia means fear.
Right.
We don't fear it. We don't fear.
Right. I'm not afraid you're going to get me.
Right. you might fear that your child goes that way or something like that. But it's not a fear. But we know that it's not natural. I know what the testicles and the penis were made for. I know what the vagina and the ovaries and the breast was made for.
Right.
So if we talking about homosexuality, there's no such thing as being born gay because babies don't know nothing about sex. Right. They're not thinking about sex.
Right. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because, like, I don't know if you remember. You remember Family Matters?
Yeah.
I remember the little kid with the curly hair.
Yeah.
When I saw him, I was like, yo, that kid Richie's gay. When I saw him, I was like, that kid is gay. He don't know it, but I know it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think there's a spectrum of that where there's some, there's just a, where that's who they are. And I think that, but there's, it's almost like the normalization of it makes it trendy. You right. You feel what I'm saying? Like right. It almost like it becomes trendy, and yeah. So it loses the.
In what aspect do you think it becomes trendy, Dante?
Well, dog, I mean, like here's the thing: for years, growing up, hip hop, running the streets, hustling, whatever, you couldn't that you just couldn't do that. Like it just it was you couldn't even come out like that. Like that was a sentence. You know, if someone
yeah, but in all fairness, is that trendy or is that more no, just you aren't now, open
I'm saying
to come
now
out?
Because dog, it's a lot, and you know, we're all stand up comics too.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of dudes that be like, yo, I dabble in a little tranny, and I'm like, dog, I'm still old school. You know right. what I mean? Like, right. I'm rocking my British Walkers yeah. and my mock neck. You know?
Yeah.
So, but
I guess
but, I mean,
I'm old school that way. It's just right.
Yeah, I guess
for
I'm
me,
old
man.
School. Yeah. But it's an interesting, it's a really interesting that gender thing. You know, one of the things that you know, I saw your video where you do. I don't know the white boy that you was talking to.
About where white people come from or something like that.
Yes, yeah. You was in the car, right?
And
it was. I just thought it was because you were kind of sitting back like that, like real easy. And he was like, right. "So you saying it's vitamin D? You said it's eating fish? Fish make you
right? Fish make you like that?"
And so that guy's point was so confusing that it's almost like you.
Oh yeah,
because
I
find
sent,
like
I sent
one
them the video.
End, yeah.
Like, yeah,
it's not like not on your end, just because that the point was so confusing that guy was trying to make that you were actually. You're being reasonable. You weren't arguing with him. You're like legitimately asking. So wait, are you saying it's vitamin D, the sun? Like,
right?
What are you talking about, man?
And that was actually a clip that I had to test my patience. That conversation was about an hour or something long.
Wow.
And I don't know him. He was a troll. He was trolling me so bad on a prior comment. I mean, a prior post.
Right.
That I was like, man, what, do you have the courage to get on? You know. On live, you know, because he was talking all these, you know, these intellectual words, like he's up on science. And I don't know those words, but I know principles. And I know that's bullshit. I mean, can I cuss here? I can't.
It was all in.
I know that was BS.
We started out with homophobia. So,
oh, okay,
I mean,
right. Yeah, if he was going to get cut off, he was going to censor it a long time ago. Yeah, So I actually lured him to get on the live.
Right.
Right. Because I know I was going to hit him with, so I don't care what kind of science words,
truth.
Whatever. Yeah. I'm going to hit you with some raw elementary school concepts and words and just watch you scatter and
right.
So that's what he was doing. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be able to explain because once I'm looking at all the comments of the guy on the top is arrogant and he's a bully and all that, right. Like, and y'all don't even know the story. The story is this dude was the bully calling me Hitler and racist and blah, blah, and this and that. So I wanted to just get on there and prove that it's not even about that. It's not even about emotion or religion. This is about science. Yeah. Can we talk science?
Well, you know, here's what's interesting is there's always this you know, big words are for small minds. So there's always an interesting thing when you know, there's things I say all the time. I say, you know, there's only two reasons to talk. There's only two reasons why you should ever say anything. To get information or to get information. Other than that, shut the fuck up. So when you use big words, what you're doing is it's a sense of insecurity because I got a pretty good vocabulary, but the point is I want you to understand the simplisticness of the message. And so if we really are truthful about the communication, then I don't need to. I mean, that's what lawyers do. That's what doctors do. It's anaphylactic shock. You're trying to deceive me.
Right.
Speak plain. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, I'm saying like Einstein said. If you can't explain something simply, this is Einstein talking.
Right.
If you can't explain something simply, like to a child, you don't understand it well enough.
Right.
I don't care how big the concept and all of that. If you don't know how to explain it in simple terms to a child. you right. yourself don't understand it.
Good absolutely. Enough. Absolutely. So it was, I just thought it was really interesting how, but this thing was, he was a smart dude because he could see that he understood the traps that you were setting. And he was trying to sidestep. And then you were Scottie Pippen him. Every time he tried to, you was playing, you close D, was like, nah, right. son, no, no, stop. Let's back up again.
Right.
But you know what's interesting is because you find moreover than not people want to be in conversations that they don't have the value to be in. So what I mean by that is if you say I don't like niggas, fair enough. You could have that thought,
right.
but. Now you can't be in the discussion about what black people need right. to do. You right. you gotta go that right. way because right. we already know. If you tell me women should be naked and pregnant and shut the fuck up and like, then you don't get to be in the feminist conversation right. because there's no empathy and right. no concern to what you don't care about the thing that you're talking about. You just want to be in this conversation, and so you're being disingenuous so that you can be in a conversation that you don't deserve to be in the first place, you know? And you find that moreover than not, it's a weird thing because even, you know, when we talk about the whole race thing and trauma, like, yeah. So let me just say, Harry is not a white boy.
Okay, I mean, you know, it don't matter if he was. I'm still gonna say what I'm gonna say.
Oh yeah, I didn't think you were, but I was just yeah. so.
It's
but
important to me to get that known. Like that known.
He does look like
2020.
He does look like he sells arms and stingers.
I do keep notes. I've made that known.
Harry's our double agent. You know, he's Ecuadorian and Armenian. Right. So yes, which is I don't know, you know.
All
but
good. All good.
70s were a wild time for my parents. So what are you gonna do?
So, but it's interesting. You know, we were talking about this, the trauma. So I had one of my good friends was talking to me, and he was talking. He was talking about the whole Blake thing, Jacob Blake thing. He was like, oh, you know, I'm hearing that he's not really the good. He's not really the dude. He's not a good dude. I don't think that. And I go, look, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I said, but let's say I give you that. Mm-hmm. What are you going to say about the next body?
Right. And the next one.
You don't want that one, let's go to let's do the odd numbers. Right. Let's do the fifth one from now or the 12th right. from now because right. it's gonna be more because it ain't gonna stop because we're talking about a programming that we don't. And so we had this debate. So every time I get a clip of some cop killing somebody or something, I send him the clip.
Right.
So so he calls me up. He says, "Man, you know, it's so depressing." He said, "Man," I get it. He says, "So depressing." He's like, "But you know, can't you know we could send me something funny?" It's so depressing. And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, I'll lighten up on you." And then this is the crazy thing because last night I said this to him yesterday, and last night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, "Dog, I don't never." get a break.
Right.
Do you feel what I'm saying?
Right. We can't turn this off.
It's never like so I could do the goofy shit. I mean we you know motherfuckers would you know I'm an old school dude. I remember I'ma do Diallo. And then that next weekend we went to the club because you still gotta survive. You
gotta go.
So he was like like I said, I was saying that Harry's not a white dude. We were talking today, and Harry was like, you know, it just seems so bad, Trump, and it seems like the country is broken. And I said, dog, but it's always been broken.
Yeah.
And, right. and don't get me wrong, he understands that, but it's a situation where I was explaining to him that there's still a blind spot because the difference now is that white folks are being affected by this. They, you know, now they're getting, you know, now you got, you know, you after you've gentrified our neighborhoods, right, you in the neighborhoods with us, and now you say, oh, this is wrong, you know, defund the police, and then you get knocked upside the head and pepper sprayed. Now it's like, right. This is the worst time ever.
Right. It's a pandemic. What's this new thing that's happening?
This is crazy. And I grew up in the 90s where, like, my block was, I live on a brownstone block. Yeah. They used to run, the cops would chase through, and they used to douse the fucking Rusty 38 in the yard. You know what I mean? Like, run and dip. Yeah. So it's like, it's amazing how, so, and we were going, Harry, we were talking about this earlier today, how the his own personal implicit bias is based on the fact that he perceives it as worse. But the only reason why he perceives it as worse is because white folks are being affected by it.
Right. It's better for us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's what I said.
Yeah.
Everybody, even though they pushing a narrative that Trump, we got to get Trump out of here. Nah, you know, in this age that we living in with social media and cell phones, and you know, it's really
better
for us. You know, nobody believed us or cared or responded or listened. But now that we got somebody like Trump that only represents at least 70 million people, you know, this ain't 400 years ago. Like, you know, right. That's how our ancestors felt 400. No, if you think his Trump is so bad, at least 67 million people voted for him.
Right.
So Trump ain't the problem.
The thing for me is
the problem.
I've never thought it was great. I've always known that it's been messed up all the way around, that the system.
You thought America was all right. That's what it was.
It was all right.
Okay. I thought it was aight. It was aight.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but for me, the whole thing was definitely, I'm not naive to the fact that, like, when they talk about make America great again. If you talk to, you know, black and Hispanic people, it's never been great. You can't say great again. Right. My thought process was, I don't want this to go backwards because we're just starting to make progress. But then the reality that I was talking with Dante about was, listen, if somebody is left behind, the whole thing is broken. So if anybody's left behind to begin with, it's already broken and it can't be fixed till the whole thing is broken to begin with. You got to break it all the way down and start anew, basically.
It's got to be the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It got to be also done in the exact chronological order that it was violated in. So
yeah, that's interesting.
You can't lump everybody together and say, you know, we got to fix it. No. The Native American so-called Indians was knocked off first.
Yeah.
Right behind that, and arguably worse, because the Native Americans was, you know, slaughtered.
Right.
We was persecuted. We was kept alive for our whole lives. And
it was with property. You want to change the oil on your car.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Native Americans didn't build the White House. They didn't build all these plantations, and you know, the black slaves did. So arguably, persecution is worse than slaughter. You know what I'm saying? So
we don't even have to split hairs on that either. You know what I'm saying? If it comes to, we talking about the red man, and then what's interesting about that is that the Native Americans took the runaway slaves in, and so
I'm not putting it like that, but I'm talking about if we supposed to be helping make America great and heal the wounds and reparations and all of that. It's supposed to start in that chronological order.
Sure.
Up everybody that had some oppression or some bad experience in together and heal it all the same. The same way we doing with Israel for the last 72 years.
Right.
You don't mix niggas up and Mexicans and Asians up with what they getting paid.
Right.
They got their own separate state and territory that we've been funding since 1948, 72 years.
Right.
Our tax dollars too. We ain't supposed to be getting taxed in the first place. I thought we was owed 40 acres and a mule for 400 years of free labor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris talking about we ain't doing nothing do something for black people alone. No.
Yeah.
Like, but in our face, every election, you getting up in front of the Jewish community in Israel and tell them exactly what you're going to do for them. Right. We promise you this many billion of dollars for the next 10 years, this type of military weapons, state-of-the-art weapons and defense systems, and our allies to you is absolutely top priority in our relation. You don't hear them say nothing like that about the people y'all enslaved for 400 years.
Not specifics.
No specifics when it comes to us. You got to lump us together with everybody, the minorities and the underprivileged. Yeah. No, that ain't going to work.
Well, it's you know, it's interesting, and you know, even with this Breonna Taylor thing, you know, what I was trying to explain, I was explaining to my man, I said, you know, the one indictment that stunk, stunk was because the only thing that got indicted was the reckless endangerment, right?
Oh, the fact
and
that
the reckless endangerment. So what?
Fired in a sheetrock.
Right. So what they're saying is, listen, it's okay if you don't have a warrant and you walk in. It's okay if you shoot your bullets into a black woman. But you need to kind of a nice grouping. Like, you can't be shooting all willy-nilly because you might hit a white woman with one of them wild bullets. You feel? Right. So we want to, if you're going to shoot, you gotta hit, and you got to make sure you hit this black woman. That's fine.
Right.
But we're going to hit you with this reckless endangerment because you shooting you all crazy.
You almost hit a white woman.
You could have hit a white woman. Are you crazy? So it's just like you said.
It reminds me of Blazing Saddles when they like they thought there was like quicksand or whatever. He goes, "You want me to send a horse?" He goes, "You fucking idiot! We're not gonna send a horse." And then they sent two of the slaves down there on the train.
Exactly.
And so you know we're looking at to a degree what one could say is lynchings. Right. But it's funny you say, you know, it's better for us now. Now, I'm doing a little keynote speaking. So I've been getting my research on. So from 1880 to 1968, right, between that period of time, a black man was lynched every other day from 1880 to 1968. And this is a statistic for in Chicago at the time when you had the black flight, where you had the red line and the migration in Chicago, a black home was bombed every 20 days for 5 years, what they call the Red Summer, right? So it's like, I haven't heard of a black house getting bombed in ages. It's been ages since that happened. You know what I'm saying? And even the modern day lynchings, we doing better than every other day now. Do you know what I mean? And here's the thing: we're actually getting charges. I mean, we're not getting indictments all the time. But then, I mean, when you talk about Emmett Till. That lady, that motherfucker was 80 something years old when they indicted him. And so what's interesting is that the programming, and it's interesting when you were talking about the book and you're talking about relationships,
right?
The programming is so deep that, and I work hard at being aware, but I still had, when my white boy was like, yo, it's depressing. It, in my nature, as per Nick Cannon, my soulfulness was like, all right, I'm going to give you a break. Not even considering that I never get a break.
Yeah, you never get a break.
Like, this is my reality every day. But I was like, I'm going to take care of you because I see you. So even as woke as you try to be, as aware as you try to be, the program is so extensive that you even find yourself falling into that yourself. It's right. Like you, it's crazy.
Part of the programming, though, is our nature, and it has to do with us being the original people of the planet. By nature, you recognize these other races, in particular the white race, is primitive and is, you know, whatever as they are. They like children to you, so you wanna cover for them and protect them, and you see them doing something that's kind of good or that's like an accomplishment or something that
right.
people would do. We applaud them and we lift them up, like, you know, oh, that's great, Timmy, that was the best jump shot ever, like, you know, And that's really like, that's part of what they recognize that we do for them. And then they take that inch that you give them and they get a mile out of it.
Yeah.
You know, next thing you know, you under their feet or you under their knee. Your neck is under their knee or under their
boot. Right. Right.
Just like, you know, the black slave mammies or whatever that they used to raise the little white children.
Feed them first.
Feed them first. And their own black babies got to wait. And teach them love and give them all of the best love upbringing. And then when that white slave child, I mean, that white slave master child grow strong enough, then he rapes and murders
his mammy.
The mammy that breastfed.
Or his children. Right. Or the children that had to wait for them. Right. I mean, it's what's interesting is the programming. So, you know, I've been deep diving in, you know, like two things I think it's important to do. You got to deep dive into American history. And I don't say African-American history because there is no American history without Africa, without slaves and Africans. Right. We've been here since the inception of this country in the first place. But you also have to read the pre-colonial history. Right. The Mali princes that walked around with so much gold that he deconstructed the financial eras of Europe because he gave away so much gold and Timbuktu and stuff. So it's but you're talking about, you know, I think going into the making of a nigga, I guess, is you think to yourself, like the science of the day was that black people were inferior, genetically inferior beings. Like that was the science of the day.
The top scientists.
Yes.
So yeah. And as
I should
you say that,
pseudoscientists, my bad.
I mean, but they were the authority.
Yes. Right?
So same today with the Anthony Fauci's and everybody that's pushing vaccines and whatever on us. The scientists are who we identify as Satan. Mm-hmm. Meaning Satan means one who's intelligent or wise. They use wisdom and knowledge and mastery to deceive and destroy and kill and rob and pillage the people. A devil is just somebody that's weak and dumb and rebellious. Right. Devils are dumb.
Right.
Satans are wise. Satans are scientists of evil. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is correct. You know, we was 3/5 of a human being. They called us feeble-minded. They called us this and that. That was according to their scientists. Yeah. They said that the black woman don't really feel pain. They're subhuman, so we don't need to give them anesthesia and nothing like that.
And did experiments on them. Like, this is some Mengele shit where it operated on women's uterus and stuff to perfect.
No anesthesia.
No anesthesia to perfect. To perfect the technique, right. On and this is the best deal. And what you're talking about, even the huge penis was to say over sexualized. Right. These men were over sexualized and over sexualized and the didn't feel pain and too dumb, his skull was too thick, and which we all look at this as it's absurd.
Those were the science experts. Those are the top leading scientists of that time.
Yeah, yeah. And then you talk about there was a guy by the name of Homer that did this book called Race Traits. And basically what he said was that at looking at the statistics, he said it's the birth rate of black people are down. And ultimately because of their feebleness of mind and their savagery and their over-sexualization, they tend to be shiftless and unable to move forward in society. And so they're an extinct culture. And therefore, because of that, we need to not give any funds to uplift them because they're going to go extinct anyway. Then when you look at the Eastern Europeans, the Irish, the Italians, the Greeks, all of them, what they said about them was, well, they have a highest rate of suicide because of lack of economics and not lack of opportunity. And if they're given the help, then they could reach the heights of Anglo-Saxons. And so it's interesting that when there were slaves, we never had an unemployment problem.
Right.
Unemployment for blacks was zero.
When you didn't zero. Have
to, when you didn't have to pay nobody.
Right. And then, and we wasn't lazy. They didn't call us lazy then.
Oh, no, we were perfect. You know, I apply it to Emancipation Proclamation, 97% of all people in prison were white. After Emancipation, 87% of the prison rate was black. So it's an interesting how the narrative changes according to whatever people think. And you know, people talk about, just like you're talking about Satanists and you talk about the scientists of the day. Right. You know, and all your crazy conspiracy, the Tuskegee Airmen. We're not making this up.
Nah, it's not a. They say conspiracy theory. It's not a theory. It's definitely a conspiracy. Just the fact that what's your last name? What's my any black person's last name is not an African name.
Right.
So that's proof that there was a definite conspiracy. Meaning, two or more people get together to intend harm to another person or a people. Well, we know that conspiracy was true for the last 400 years here. It's not a theory. So if they would do all the things that the history books don't write about, but we know about. So you think they won't lie about,
you of know, course,
this
of
or course. That when black people is getting, you know, if how many of your homies is in jail right now or, you know, doing time because of the police or the DA or the judge or somebody lied on them. So we know that this is not a theory.
Right.
We know this is not a theory. This is a real conspiracy. But if they control the media and the information and they control the narrative, then they're going to say theory. And if you question them, why would you ever say that? You know, Joe Biden, again, he said Trump was the first racist president. You remember that? I thought the founding fathers had slaves and shit, but I guess Trump is the first racist president.
80% of all the presidents in this country own slaves. 80% of them. Eight of them.
And it's weird because it's not a chronological order.
No.
You'd be surprised. Gerald Ford?
I just started from the beginning, but
you're like Jimmy Carter? Maybe. Yeah. But his granddaddy probably did. And eight of presidents held slaves while they were in office. We're talking about a programming. Which, in a sense, I know this sounds crazy, but in a sense, it makes me optimistic. And yeah. I know that's because if you think about, you know, like I one of my boys, he hustled back and got caught up, smoked crack, heroin, did everything, went in and out of prison, blah 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 blah, got out, got clean, and now he's a counselor, drug counselor for. You know, addicted youths, right? And he got an apartment and a car, and I mean, he's not living lavishly. Yeah. But I was like, dog, you are the new superheroes. Man. You the X-Men. Yeah. That when you talk about the obstacles in front of you, not a dog. I didn't get caught up. You know, I always brag about because I've never been arrested, but I realized later that the only reason why I've never been arrested, first I never watch my work. Like I never admire my work.
Hang around.
Yeah. When the body is at 10 o'clock, I'm already in the cab. So you know, because it wasn't an ego thing for me, but you know, to have the obstacles in front of you and to still come out the other side with a job and a roof over your head and a living and a decent life because he got hit with all the tackle bag, you know what I mean? Like, and still to make it on the other side of that tunnel is amazing. It's amazing. I mean,
that's why we the chosen people. To get on the DJ Vlad subject, you know, he's saying that, you know, that's some bozo shit. No, that's not bozo shit. We was tried and purified and fashioned in the furnace of
baptized in fire.
In fire. So literally. Just because I gotta throw this out there because we was talking about that. Just because also, you know, like Thomas Jefferson and other people, slaves that had slaves or whatever, just because you got a white or a black woman or a wife, that don't mean you're not racist. Like I said, Thomas Jefferson had a gang of children by his black, you know, sure. The slave sure. masters love that the black slave women more than their own wives.
Yeah, yeah.
That don't mean you're not racist.
No, absolutely so, not.
You know, don't get that twisted because the what's the Cameron dude, the Attorney General Cameron dude that just let Breonna Taylor kill him.
Yeah,
he just got married to somebody, granddaughter, a daughter, a white woman.
Yeah.
Same with Kamala Harris and her husband. But they all claim to be black and like they represent the pain and the suffering or the struggle of black people. I, you know, that's if you believe that, I got some beachfront property on the moon that I'm selling for the low right now.
On the moon. it's an interesting concept. Now, getting back to the relationships and so on, and so. One of the I always see things in like so I, like something that I always say is that the true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how they relate to situations that seem irrelevant but really are not. So when you have what you were talking about is having a concept where you can teach it when you boil it down to the root.
Right.
Understanding that cosmic and universal truth, you can reapply that cosmic and universal truth over and over, that is what the wisdom is. And so when you practice, I mean, this is 54 years of me seeing the patterns, and you know, and what's that? The conspiracy thing with the red string going all crazy all over the house. It's I see these patterns, and so you get dudes who want a woman or even want multiple women or whatever, but you want something that you don't really feel that you deserve because you're not the best version of yourself. So you're trying to sell something with a gimmick. I do one-on-one consultations. A guy would call me. I mean, let me send you the text. I texted this, she texted that. I go, look, you're going to lose this already. and the reason why I want you to understand you're going to lose this is because you want me to give you the right answer.
Yeah.
Because you don't think you standing on who you are is enough.
It comes down to work. Because even if you're standing on who you are, women, the role of a man is to do work. You have to do work to restore women. Women have been. Women is like classic cars. Like in West Coast, they like 64 Chevys.
Yeah, yeah.
They classic. They the best thing out. But you have to put work in them. Like if you look at them close, they got they pan is rusted. Something is something you're gonna have to put a whole lot of work into, right?
And you're also talking about the obstacles and the pain of slavery and sexism and
relationships with other dudes. You got to be the mechanic that fix all that. Even though you didn't create that problem, you're responsible to fix it.
And by the way, there's always going to be new problems too that prop up. You got to fix too.
While you're doing that.
While you're doing the work.
Yeah, my favorites are 55 Mercury, but but you know it's a constant ongoing. But you have to do the work on yourself. Your first project is you. So if you're not living, you know I always say this, you if you meet a woman, she don't know you. So how does she get to know you? You got to tell her who you are.
Them words, all she's going to do is record those words.
Uh-huh. And match
then
them up.
Study your actions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's still going to come down to your work, what you do over time.
Because the incongruency of your words and your actions, that women are super deductive in seeing the differences in that. I talk about this all the time. It's like, you know, every time a woman decides to go out with a dude, she has to decide whether this motherfucker might rape her.
Right.
He might murder her. So she literally has to decide whether she wants free breadsticks and salad from the Olive King, the Olive Garden, or rape? Like, that's a, that's right. a question that, yeah. that she's asking. And so her intuitiveness to pick up on the incongruency is got it's got to be so it has to be so keen for her own personal survival.
And unfortunately, a lot of sisters have already been raped or they already been molested. So they actually low key predators.
Not that
they're trying to rape the man, but
no.
They already been broken emotionally. So they never gonna really give you themselves. They out to get over on you before you can get over on them.
Well, I'm gonna push back on that. I'll give you a concept and I'm gonna ask you what you think. So I have this theory about I had a friend of mine. He used to have fish tanks, right? And I don't know if you're familiar with brackish fish. Do you know what brackish? No. Well, so there's this fish called African cichlids. They're as aggressive as piranhas, but they don't attack in schools, right? But they come. There's a lake in Tanzania that is around, you know, tribes and stuff. So they shit in it, they piss in it, they wash the clothes in it, everything. So there's a bacteria in the water that is built up. And so those fish are accustomed to swimming in that. Now, if you put them in a fish tank, you have to buy that bacteria. So the brackish meat, part salt, part fresh. Plus you have to culture the bacteria before you put the fish in. If you put those fish in clean water, they will die. So what you're talking about is women who have adapted to these toxic situations who need this, they need this toxicity to live. And so you trying to be a righteous dude, got you. You trying to be a righteous dude and there's a toxicness that they're looking for. So like there's always, you know, like when you have people who have been abused and they're abusive people, they don't have to have, like, doesn't mean they're necessarily abusive. So in any abusive relationship, you got the abuser and the abusee, right? Those two archetypes have to be fulfilled. Now the woman doesn't care which one she fills, but they both have to be filled. So if you're a nice guy, she's gonna be the asshole.
Right.
And if you're the asshole, she's gonna be the submissive who takes it. But the familiarity of the abusiveness is what she's trying to recreate. That she grew up in her own life in that.
What she's used to and comfortable.
What she's used to. Because anything that she's not comfortable is painful. Even if it's kindness.
It's scary.
Yeah, kindness is painful.
Right.
So if you got a braggish bitch and you want to keep her, there has to be this harshness.
Yeah, you gotta feed her some poison. You gotta some poison. Put some poison in a relationship.
And then work your way back to
the cleanliness.
Yeah.
You also have to decide if that's something you want to keep doing too. Like you want to keep putting up with that effort back and forth, forget it.
You
gotta pick your poison.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta pick your poison. Either way it's gonna be a headache. So you gotta pick your headache. What specific things can I tolerate to give me this migraine? You're gonna get a migraine regardless. So.
Yeah, it's work. But I mean, I think if you go on box, you know you're getting punched in the face.
Yeah, it is.
So it's just part. So it's not, you're not upset because you got punched in the face.
Right.
That's what's supposed to happen. So if you're gonna be in these relationships and there's these toxic situations, so I don't know if it's really. I think that people are responding to trauma,
right,
and not even being aware of the trauma. You know, where you and a lot of times I'll, you know, dude be like, my girl, listen, my dog, you know, yeah, she was raped by her uncle and
You like it or not, you her therapist. You got to go all the way into them deep dark caves and those traumatic instances and walk her through it, hold her hand, make her reface them things that she don't want to face, and she gonna feel like you're trying to recreate that. She gonna feel the same fear and tear and pain and rage or whatever towards you for making her face that.
Yeah,
not knowing that this is like you break your arm, I gotta re-break it to set, you know. But
yeah,
it's gonna hurt. You gonna look at me like I'm the one that broke it. Yeah. Like, I'm the one that, you know.
So. Yeah. How does that relate to the book, your book, and what you, you know, what you talk about in there, the basic fundamentals of that?
The title itself is
War
in, War in Your Heaven, but heaven is the woman. I don't know if you know, pie in the sky after you die. I don't know what happened to you after you die. The only heaven that I know for a man is found in a woman. But unfortunately, the woman, like in Bible terms, the woman have been possessed by a serpent. And in this case, the serpent or the beast is white American, white supremacy mentality. You know, what they put up.
Feminism. Yeah.
Right? So they gassing the especially the black woman, they gassing them up. You don't need a man. The black man ain't nothing. You equal and blah, Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ, and, you know, because of the oppression that white supremacy system put on them. Your black man didn't do that to you.
Right.
You know, they did make us a stud and make us not care about you and be faithful to you during slavery, but you knew that wasn't us.
Yeah.
Your brain is intelligent. We all woke. You know, your black man ain't your enemy. It's the one that destroyed your black man. That's why it's not enough black men, quality black men to go around, because, you know, they destroyed us. I'm seeing with this Breonna Taylor, like, the most disrespected and unprotected person on earth is the black woman.
Yeah.
No, it's the black man.
Right.
It's the black man. That's why you're unprotected, because they destroyed us. We're the target.
Point. That's a good point. Because you got to remove the security.
Yeah.
You remove the security.
There's no diss to the sisters.
Right.
You can't get rid of the number one factor here.
Yeah. Well, your security.
Your security.
If we're supposed to be your security, and you find that the whole idea of that is just and this level of, you know, I'm caught up between the fact that, because, you know, there was a time when you know, like my dad was like, my dad had me like I had my son. My dad was 49, so my pops was born 1920. So you know, you talking about the Depression. He was in the Depression, and so, you know, a lot of him and I, we didn't really get along, but at that time, you just wanted your kids not to die. You know what I mean? If you could just keep them alive, you win.
And we didn't know that. We childish. We want more out of life. Like, we don't understand the warfare that's going on. We didn't understand
it. Like, self-actualization and happiness and fulfillment and stuff. I mean, black people are just getting to that.
Man, just tasting.
Just starting to get in, and people, you see people going to therapy, and where black people never went to therapy, went to talk to nobody. It was crazy if you went to therapy, you know. You know, it was, you know, even as I went to school, you was either retarded or normal.
And just think, the people that's going to therapy are the rich and famous black people.
Yeah.
So that's proving you that money and fame is not happiness.
Yeah.
It does. All they can do is pay for you a nice quality therapist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When the people that don't got money or fame can't afford a therapist.
But, you know, and I'm glad that we're being more progressive. But I also think that a lot of this talking is this emasculation of like, we men, you talk too much. Like, you talk about your feelings too much. Like, dog, one of the things that I say all the time is, make ultimate decisions. Don't give ultimatums. An ultimatum is a bargain in a situation where you don't understand what your leverage is. If you don't do this, I'm going to blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Which is, you don't even know what your leverage is. Where if your action is like, so if there's an offense and I leave, right? If she goes, where you going? I go, well, you were disrespectful, and so I'm leaving. I'm taking your season tickets. I remember when Meta World choked the white boy, and then they found it was the other dude that threw the beer at him or whatever. But what did they do to that? What did they do to the dude that threw the beer? They took his season tickets. You love basketball? Well, you can't come anymore. We're taking your season tickets. And he was like, "This is unfair. This is you don't deserve it." And so, when there's an infraction, as a man, I withdraw. I go, oh, that's how you rock?
Yeah.
Now I'm unavailable.
Right. That's
now,
it.
If you give a fuck, you're going to say, hey, well, I haven't seen you around. Mm-hmm. Now, well, you haven't seen me around because you're disrespectful. Mm-hmm. So then this doesn't even become an argument anymore. You're disrespectful, and that's why. And I'm not somebody who stands for disrespect. Mm-hmm. Well, you getting all emotional? Yeah. Okay, let's move on. But if she goes, well, but I missed you. I see now. We in a negotiation.
Right.
And we're in a negotiation where I know you care.
Right. I know you recognize something about my value. So now let me use that value as leverage. What are you willing to do? Adjust your behavior to get back some of this value in your life.
And if you're talking about this, well, if you do such and such and such, then I'm gonna leave. You look. Yeah. And then when you don't leave, your credibility is shot to the degree where you, it's like, I had a kid I counseled, and the kid was straight from the streets. And I said, I talked about this before, Harry. I said, look, say your man gets out the joint and he's,
oh yeah.
Yo, I need some help.
Yeah.
He goes, yo, I got these, you know, I can give me a little something on consignment. So I give you these 15 bundles. This is what it costs. This is what I want back. This is what you keep. If he fuck up the 15 bundles, I said, do you give him a half a key when he come back? He goes, hell no. I go, so on a base level, if I withdraw and I leave, and then you go and she fucks up the bundles,
right?
You don't get an, I don't give you more. I said, and I asked him, I said, why won't you give him more? He said, because he going to make me murder him.
Right.
So you cut him off because it's important. It's important to make kind of set those boundaries and maintain those boundaries to show. And that is the thing that's most attractive. It's not your six pack. It's not your money. It's not your car. It's that you say what you mean what you say. And I give a fuck about you. I care how you, if I've harmed you, explain to me how I've harmed you and so I can fix it. You feel me? Dog, plug the book again, one more again, please.
The book, man, is War in Your Heaven, The Black Man's Relationship Problems with His Black Woman Today, and The Feared Solutions. It's about solutions. It's not just about problems like we talk about, you know, this and that. It's about solutions. But the solutions are feared solutions. They're solutions that black men don't want to do. It's work and discipline and accountability that we got to do. And like you said from the beginning, that you said something that you never heard of black woman. I mean, you never heard of a
woman of her word. I've never heard the terminology of woman of her word.
Right. And the other, in my book, I've never heard a woman publicly apologize.
Wow.
I've never heard, you know, you make Kobe apologize, you make Kevin Hart apologize, you know, you never, I have yet to hear any prominent.
Listen. It was an entanglement. It was an entanglement.
Entanglement, exactly. I just wanted to feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Level of credibility. Man, what's the Instagram? What's the website? Whatever. Plug whatever you got to plug.
Website is West Coast Cam. Cam with a K. One word. WestCoastCam.com. I got the book, of course, I got for COVID-19. I've been doing this for my family since 2009. Ionic Colloidal Silver. For those that, you know, that know about what colloidal silver is, it's the most powerful, natural antiviral known to science, and it's been suppressed because it's a natural element that the FDA and all that can't put a patent on.
Right.
But if you do your homework about the over 650 disease-causing viruses and pathogens and microbes and bacteria that this kills within 6 seconds, between 6 seconds and 6 minutes. I can't say that it's a cure for COVID because
it'll strengthen the immune.
Yeah, it'll strengthen the immune system. My children never been to the hospital, never had vaccinations, never been sick, none of that. They've been on this. So it works for us. I can't say what it'll do for you.
I'll give you a one-up, dog. I got I bought some underwear with silver in the, I don't know if you know, you've seen it, where they put the silver in the underwear where they don't they don't. Yeah. It kills odor.
Yeah.
Because of the bacteria and stuff. So it's exactly. I'm not gonna plug them, Harry, because they don't sponsor us. Right. So fuck that. Look it up. But Harry, man, thank you so much, dog. I appreciate you doing this, dog. Thank you, Dante. I hope you enjoyed yourself, man.
Thank you, Dante. Thank you, Big Harry. You know what I'm saying? So
Andre's his audio and stuff right now. He had a little technical deal and we was wrapping it up. Harry, talk to me real quick.
You could check out my stuff at IHateComedy.com, but also, more importantly, check out the Man School 202 YouTube page and the Man School 202 Patreon. This should be up and running right now.
Yeah.
You can donate. We're going to be doing a lot of bonus content for that.
Yeah, so we're trying to get Patreon. This. And don't forget Andre D. Thompson, everything, all his social media is Andre D. Thompson. His podcast is In Between Spots. And for me, it's DanteNero.com. If you want to consult with me, one-on-one consultation, go to DanteNero.com and click on consult. All my Instagram and all of that stuff is The Dante Nero or Dante Nero, D-A-N-T-E. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD.
Go ahead. I forgot to plug my social media. Mine is at West Coast Cam at everything. So that's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that at West Coast Cam.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you broke in because, you know, when we were talking about that Vlad thing, is we need to be that Vlad.
Oh yeah, we are. That's why I'm here.
But GYBB's Get Your Balls Back, WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolutions Be a Podcast. The Patreon should be up when, Harry?
It should be up right now as this is out.
It's up. Go sign up for the Patreon. Yo, we've been doing this thing for free. Support us if you want these gems to keep coming. Hit me. My son is hungry. And we only giving him grass-fed, holistic organic milk only. It's $8 a half gallon.
Yeah, it's up there now. It's up there.
Yo, I love y'all. We are out, man. Tell a friend. Man School 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson, produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.